What's going on, everybody out there? This is K the Palace. We are back for episode two. Unfortunately, I'm 2 weeks out of my normal scheduling. There's no day when episode will be released. But just know that you're gonna get an episode either every week or every other week. So just stay tuned for that. Hopefully y'all are following the podcast and y'all have downloaded it on whichever podcast station that you're listening to. You know, this is going to be a podcast where we're going to feature basketball and we're going to feature some entertainment as well. So I've been gone for a few weeks, but it's okay. We have a few NBA topics that we're going to get into. So, the last time I recorded this, I think we left off. We were in the NBA Finals. So we had the Dallas Mavericks going against the Boston Celtics, and well, I guess well. I see we've seen we saw how that turned out. The Mavs lost in five. I think the day that I think when I recorded the podcast, I think it had to be game two. No, I don't think game two even. I don't think game two had I don't think game two was had started yet. I think it was Wednesday. I think I recorded the first episode. It was on Tuesday, so I want to say it was probably June 11th was the last time I recorded the podcast, I believe. So yeah, so it was almost 2 weeks ago. So the Boston Celtics ended up winning in five. Congratulations to the Boston Celtics. Jason Tatum finally got his first ring. Jaylen Brown was awarded the Finals MVP. I mean, shout out to Kyrie Irving, Luka Doncic, man. Kyrie Irving, man, he gave it all he could, but this was probably Kyrie's worst Finals, I think. I don't think he averaged over 20 points in this whole series. Kyrie definitely struggled, definitely could have played better. I want to say the first game of the Finals. If we go back and look for his first game in the finals, I think he was 6 for 16. Yeah, Kyrie had 12 points. He finished the game. He was 6 for 19 actually. He shot 31% from the field. Luka, I mean, he had 30 his first game, but he was 12 of 26. I mean, I think where the Mavericks struggled, they struggled with, oh, I think offensively, they struggled offensively. You know, Tim Hardaway Jr., man, it's something about, I don't understand his role on his team. If you ask me, I think he's one of the best shooters in the league when he's hot. I think when Tim Hardaway is on fire, man, I think he's one of the best shooters in the league. So I don't understand why he didn't get more minutes in this series. I think they definitely could have used Tim Hardaway in this series. You know, PJ Washington, he didn't show up in this series. Gafford, really, if you ask me, I think Gafford really struggled. You know, with the Celtics went with like with Porzingis being hurt. Ended up playing games one and two. I think Porzingis really helped this Celtics team win the championship because he's another offensive threat. If you add him to that roster, he's another offensive threat. Arguably he's the fourth option, and that's scary. You know, with Porzingis being the fourth option, that's scary because there could be nights where. I was definitely nice, like with Jrue Holiday, like where Jrue Holiday is like the third option. There could be nice when Derek White is the third option, you know. So, yeah, that's my takeaway from the series. I think Porzingis was the X factor for the Celtics. A lot of people, I guess, a lot of people say Derek White or Jrue Holiday was the X factor. Which is understandable, but I think with Porzingis, like with the length, I mean, you can't beat that. So, I'm gonna say Porzingis definitely helped him out in games 1 and 2, and then Porzingis coming and oh, and defensively, I think he helped him too defensively. I think defensively, you know, he had a couple block shots. I think his first game, I think he had like 18 points. His first game, then second game, I think he had like when fact check. Let's go to my research department. So, yeah, so Porzingis actually had 20 points the first game. Then if you go to the second game he had, let's see. Second game, he actually had 12 points. But if you look at the scoring that Porzingis had given them, it helped them to win them games, and he came off the bench in both of them games. And then the final game of the series, which was game five, he gave him a couple points, but like I said, they ended up winning that game. So I just think with the on the Mavericks, man, they just probably need to they should be glad about the season they had. You know, they got PJ Washington and Gafford at the trade deadline, and you know they got Grant Williams out of there, which I thought they definitely need to get Grant Williams out of there. I don't know. I think Grant Williams wasn't just. I don't think he wasn't the right fit for them. He wasn't the right fit for them. So I definitely think Grant Williams definitely deserved to get out of there. And then you add PJ Washington. You know he has, you know, with the height and the length, you know, he can shoot open three. He can defend the best players. I think adding him onto the team helped him. And then Gafford, he's another rim protector who can, you know, protect the rim. Well, in all, I think the Mavericks had a good season, but I just think with Kyrie being so cold in the series, man, it really hurt them. Because if you think about it, the Mavericks, they could have been, it could have been 2-0 Mavericks, but you know, it just wasn't their series. But you know, hopefully next year they come back stronger, you know, and better. You know, so yeah, so congrats to the Celtics, man. Tatum got his first ring. You know, he shut up all the critics that were talking about how Jaylen Brown's the best player, and Tatum doesn't show up for the big games. Well, he showed up for game five. He showed up for game five, you know, so you can't really say a whole lot, you know what I mean? Like, you know, he showed up when he needed to. So you know, Tatum, he ended up finishing game five with, he had 31 points, 11 assists. Jaylen Brown did other stuff to help them win in game five, but even with Tatum not scoring as well in the first couple games of the series, he did other things to help his team win. You know, he got assists, rebounds, and, you know, stuff like that to help his team win. So I don't agree with some of the analysts on TV that say that, you know, they paid a lot of attention to his scoring, but they didn't realize what else he was doing to help his team win. It's not all about scoring. It's about what can I do to win, and that's what Tatum did. He filled in the gaps, and you know he helped them win. And so, yeah. So congrats to the Celtics, man. But we're gonna move on to the WNBA. They were making some headlines. I know the same week of the finals was the same week that Caitlin Clark, they came out with the USA team, and Caitlin Clark was not on the team. My thoughts about Caitlin Clark not making the All-Star team. I think Caitlin Clark, I think she definitely should have been part of the team. And I say that because if we're in the USA and they're trying to send their best player, I feel like Caitlin Clark definitely should be on the team. If we're thinking about sending our best players, you know, to go to Paris and win the Olympics, you definitely need the best players. I think Caitlin Clark possibly could make the team. If you ask me, with Chelsea Gray coming back from injury, I think if Chelsea Gray wasn't to play, I think Caitlin Clark should be the replacement. That's just me speaking. Or even Jackie Young, but it's really hard to take off anybody on the list because everybody on that list is deserving and they're all a bucket. Every player on that team is a bucket and they're all great players. So it's like, I feel like, so for example, if Caitlin Clark wasn't make the team, so say if Caitlin Clark made the team and Diana Taurasi didn't, they didn't put Diana Taurasi on the team, but Caitlin Clark made it. A lot of people would say, okay, it makes sense for Caitlin Clark to be on the team and not Diana Taurasi only because they're trying to get more youth, get more young players on the team, which is understandable. I think Diana Taurasi is like 42. I don't think she would have had a problem with it because of trying to share some light on the younger generation. But at the same time, Diana Taurasi is a legend. She's 42 years old, and she's still playing at a high level at 42 years old. I repeat, 42 years old and still playing at a high level, Diana Taurasi. So, would you take off Diana Taurasi on this list only because of age, you know? And maybe she wouldn't mind giving the opportunity to Caitlin Clark, you know? But I think with this situation, I think, I can understand the other side too about how Caitlin Clark hasn't accomplished nothing in the WNBA to earn a spot on the team, unlike the other 12 like women that are on the team now, which is understandable. I can understand that too, but in my head, I'm just like, if we're thinking about sending the best players over there, I think Caitlin Clark definitely should be on the team. I will look at this too. I think the next Olympics is going to be stacked because you're going to have Caitlin Clark is definitely going to be on that team. Angel Reese is going to be on that team. You got Juju Watkins, who's still in college at USC now, but she's going to get drafted by then and she's going to be on the team. Cameron Brink might make the team. You got Paige Becker from Stanford, who's still in college now. She might be on the team when she gets drafted. There's some other Asia Wilson. She's still going to be playing. Kelsey Plum. A lot of these players are still going to be playing. So, yeah, man. I mean, the WNBA is in good hands right now. You know, it's a lot of attention being drawn to them this season. But I would say this. I've been watching WNBA for a couple of seasons now, and not only this year because of Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and all the popularity going on. I've been on WNBA. The Aces have been my team. Kelsey Plum is my favorite player. I want to shout out Dejanae Carrington. Dejanae Carrington from the Connecticut Sun. She is an underrated defensive player who should be an all-star this year, and she should make an all-defensive team this year. You know, it's a lot of hype and a lot of talk around Caitlin Clark and what she's doing, and you know, she's been the topic, but nobody has been paying attention to the Connecticut Sun. I feel like the Connecticut Sun, they're 13-2 right now. I'm not gonna lie. I have to be honest with y'all. They're on a 2-game losing streak right now. They just lost to. They lost to the Aces, and I believe. Hold on, y'all. Hey, listen. Y'all know me. I gotta check the research department. We gotta check the research department. So they've lost to the Aces and they've lost to the Seattle Storm. The Seattle Storm is another underrated team. You got Skylar Diggins-Smith. You got Nene Odumike. If I pronounce her name wrong, I apologize. But you also have Jewell Loyd, who's also on the USA team. I feel like the Seattle Storm right now, they're underrated. The Connecticut Sun, at the time when they were undefeated, nobody was talking about them. Everybody talking about Caitlin Clark, or my team, which is the Aces. They're talking about Angel Reese, who I like Angel Reese because she's from Maryland. I'm from Maryland, so I've been supporting Angel Reese ever since she went to LSU. And she played at Maryland, so yeah. But with all that going on, nobody was talking about the Connecticut Sun at all, and they were undefeated. But going back to Caitlin Clark and the USA team, who knows? Somebody could get hurt on the team, and she might be able to make it. But at the same time, it's kind of understandable because she hasn't really accomplished nothing in the league yet. But at the same time, Anthony Davis was on the 2012 USA team. Christian Laettner was on the. It just goes into play where it's like there have been rookies that have made the team. So, but. Like I said, I think Caitlin Clark probably should be on the team just because, like, she's starting to change the game, and she's, I don't know, well, change the game is kind of crazy because she just started, but she's changing the narrative on the WNBA, and it's a lot of eyes on her. It's a lot of eyes on the league now because of her, so I think. That's one reason why she should have made it, and we all know what she did in college. I think Caitlin Clark, she's the all-time leading scorer for college. Like, that's crazy. So, I think what she's done so far, I think she should have made the team. But it is what it is, man. She'll be on the next one, or if somebody was to not play because of injury, then she might be added on to the team as a replacement. But yeah, so the WNBA is in good hands, man. The Fever finally, well, the Fever, well, their 4-game winning streak ended last night versus the Chicago Sky, man. The Chicago Sky were 0-3 against the Fever this season up until last night, when it was a close game back to back. Angel Reese proved to the world that she is a dog, and Angel Reese has always been a dog, man. She finished the game with 25 points and 16 rebounds, and her, I'm not gonna lie, I might get her name wrong, but her and I want to say N. Smith on the Indiana Fever, N. Smith. Her first name starts with an N, but her last name is Smith. She got cooked by Angel Reese in the final minutes of the game yesterday against Angel. She got cooked. Angel Reese was putting back layups. She was getting and ones. I mean, she was bodying her down low, getting in the paint. I mean, Angel Reese, she even had something to say about it. She even has something to say about it. Excuse me, y'all. It's real late, so I'm saying when I get tired, I get stuttering. It's real late. It's like it's almost 11 o'clock. So look. So anyway, back to the game. Angel Reese was going back and forth with Smith. She was telling her what's up, and she definitely told her what's up, man. So the Chicago Sky got the win. 88-87. It was a good game. I watched it from the first quarter all the way to the fourth quarter in the final minutes. So I watched the entire game, Angel Reese was cooking them with the rebounds. Like she was getting all the offensive rebounds, the offensive rebounds and the defensive rebounds. So yeah, shout out to Angel Reese, man. The Rookie of the Year race is definitely close now. But the thing with both teams is that they're both the Sky Fever both have losing records. They're both losing teams. So, I mean, individually they're both putting up numbers, but both of their team both but both of their teams are losing. So, I don't know, man. I mean, really, if you think about it, Caitlin Clark hasn't been. She's been playing. She's been putting up numbers, but she hasn't been playing well. And if y'all know me, I'm not a stats guy. So, for the rest of the year, I won't be putting stats in my on my pod. But I'm definitely not a. I'm definitely not a stats guy. But what I will say is that Caitlin Clark hasn't been playing well, even though she's been putting up numbers, but she hasn't been playing well overall to get the team wins, even though they've been on a 4-game win streak up until yesterday. And even on that 4-game win streak, they played teams that weren't as good. So, but they're rookies, so they'll learn from this season, and then for their career. Caitlin Clark is not going to be a, she's not going to be part she's not going to be part of the losing team going forward. She's known for being a winner, so I don't see her continuously playing on a losing team. So, but if you had to ask me who do I think is the Rookie of the Year, I mean, if you think about it, Angel Reese is starting to pick up, she's starting to put up numbers. In the beginning, she was probably finishing the games with like 10 to 12 points with like 7, 8 rebounds. But now you're starting to see her put up 20 points and 15 rebounds, 13 rebounds. And I think she's leading the league in double doubles. I could be wrong. Like I said, I'm not a stats guy. Y'all do your own research, just like how I'm trying to do my own research, But I do think Angel Reese is leading. She's one of the top leaders in double doubles in this year, and I think as a rookie, I think since 2000, she was the first WNBA rookie to put up 25 and 15 in a rookie game. That's insane. So shout out to Angel Reese, man. I want Angel Reese to get Rookie of the Year, personally. I think she should get Rookie of the Year. Now, as far as the All-Stars, I think Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, they should both make the All-Star team. Caitlin Clark, she kind of got snubbed off the USA team. I would not snub her for All-Star. Especially Angel Reese. They both should make it. But yeah, man, that's your WNBA news, man. And where I messed up before I even announced the news, I should have said, here's our segment. Palace News. I should have said that, but like I said, y'all, this is only the second episode of the pod. So these are gonna be growing pains. So I'm gonna get better as I go forward. So next on Palace News, there we go. Palace News. We have going back to the NBA. We have JJ Redick gets hired by the Los Angeles Lakers. For 4 years, I can't remember the amount of money. I think it's, I can't remember. I'm not even gonna think about the amount of money that he's offered, but just know that his contract is 4 years. So he got a 4 years. You know what? Why even do this? I can look at my research department and see how much money did he sign for. How much bread did he sign for? Let's go to the research department. Yeah, well, it doesn't say amount. It just says he signed a 4-year deal. So it's true. JJ Redick, he has signed a 4-year deal with the Lakers. How do I feel about the hire? Well, first of all, it's going to be unfortunate because today he has press conference and he's not doing no more podcasts. So as a coach, he won't be doing no more podcasts, which is unfortunate because I was tuning into the podcast. And as y'all didn't know, he had a podcast with LeBron. So as a coach, you can't have a podcast with a player that you're coaching, because that's gonna be weird. So yeah, you don't want that. So I can see why the podcast have to come to an end, because you can't really have, as a coach, you can't have a podcast with the best player on the team. It don't make sense, so it's unfortunate, but shout out to JJ Redick. I think we all saw JJ getting a job. I mean, if you look at the other candidates that was in the talks of getting a job, none of them were better than JJ Redick, respectfully. But JJ being a Lakers head coach, I'm gonna be honest, JJ is gonna be he's gonna be podcasting next year. He's gonna be podcasting next year. If you look at the track record of these coaches, man, Monty Williams, he got fired from the Pistons, and he had signed a 6-year, $72 million contract last year, and he spent 1 year with the Pistons. It was a horrible season for the Pistons, and he got fired. Coaches are getting fired after 1 year, like only in the NBA though. They're getting fired after 1 season, which is insane. I kind of wish JJ didn't get the job, only because with the Lakers, they're quick to fire somebody instantly. And a lot of NBA careers, coaching careers, like people who take these jobs or assign to the Lakers, like they're never the same after they leave, They were big time when they went there, then when they leave, it's like a shift in their career a little bit. Hopefully JJ is there for all 4 years and he don't get fired after 1 season, which the Lakers are known for doing. Look at Darvin. He goes to the conference finals 1 year, and then this year he got fired after they got out against but the Lakers lost to the defending champs. So it's not like the Lakers lost to like a It's not like the Lakers lost to like a horrible team and they got the first round. No, they lost to the defending champs. Even though for some reason they can never beat the Nuggets for some reason, but it's like for a coach to take you to the conference finals, I would think you wouldn't fire that coach. You know what I mean? You wouldn't fire him. But I don't think Darvin Ham was the problem. It was just a lot of chemistry issues and roster. It was chemistry issues, injuries, and just the roster in general was just not a good fit around LeBron and AD. Even though, in my opinion, even though the roster wasn't the best fit around LeBron and AD, I do feel like that was a championship roster from 1 through 12. You have LeBron and AD. You have D'Lo at the point. Austin Reeves, who is your shooter, who for some reason he wasn't acting like a shooter this year, even though he should have been a shooter. You got Rui Hachimura, who's a great role player. He can shoot the open three. He can defend. He's a cut player. Like AD, you have all the then like you have all these great players, and that lineup was great. The lineup was great. Like their lineup, that's a perfect lineup. I think Jared Vanderbilt hurt them because he can defend, he can get rebounds, Off the bench, you had Taurean Prince, who was a great shooter. For some reason, on the Lakers, he wasn't a great shooter. I don't know why, but every shooter that goes to the Lakers don't never ends up being a great shooter no more, which is insane. But 1 through 12, the Lakers had a great roster. They just it they're they were just inconsistent, and I think consistency is needed to win a championship. And I think that's where the Lakers need. They need some consistency. But the most disappointing player on the Lakers had to be Spencer Dinwiddie. Spencer Dinwiddie, he's a great role player, but he goes to the Lakers and he doesn't do nothing. He did nothing for them. Dinwiddie became a horrible shooter. He contributed nothing. And Dinwiddie is a great role player, but he goes to the Lakers and he didn't help them. No, he didn't help them one bit. He did not do anything. So I think they should get I would get rid of him. Gabe Vincent was also a disappointment because he was hurt for most of the year, so he should leave too. I don't know, but the Lakers have a lot of they have a lot of they have a lot of answers that they need to a lot of these questions that people are asking about the team. So hopefully JJ is the answer. I think I kind of wish JJ didn't get the job on only because he could get fired after one season if they end up having another bad year. So we'll see. Good luck to JJ. He has a great basketball mind, a lot of knowledge. He's a player. He's a former player as well. So a lot of the players on the team are going to relate to him already. So that shouldn't be a problem. And then I guess the good part about this is that he has a great relationship with LeBron because they had a podcast together. So at least the best player has a great relationship with the coach, so I think that's a good sign. But in the press conference, JJ also had mentioned that he's been talking to AD for a few weeks too, so at least he's gotten a head start of talking for the Lakers. At least he's gotten a head start talking to their best players ahead of time. But if y'all didn't know, Dan Hurley, the head coach of the of UConn, he was really in the talks of getting the head coaching job, but he turned it down to return back to UConn. He would think he was offered like a 6-year, $70 million contract. That was reported. I don't know if that was true or not. You never know. But Dan Hurley was about to get the job, but he was like a late candidate for them. So, but yeah, he was in talks to getting the job, but that didn't happen. So, but JJ is the Lakers' new head coach. Hopefully, they can stick with a coach because the Lakers been going through coaches like, oh man, like crazy. So, but let's see what happens with that. Other breaking news: Kenny Atkinson, he gets hired by the Cavaliers. He was a former head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. I want to say Charlotte Hornets. I could no, he wasn't. He wasn't. He wasn't. But he was on the coach staff of the Golden State Warriors. I think he was on the coach staff of the Clippers at one point in time too. But a lot of there are some other coaches that could have gotten this job. No offense to Kenny Atkinson, but Sam, I think. Sam Cassell. I think Sam Cassell would have been a great hire. He's been an assistant coach for years. I think he's well deserving of a head coaching job. Mark Jackson, who hasn't been a coach since the 2013-2014 Golden State Warriors. I think people forget that Mark Jackson used to coach the Golden State Warriors. He was the head coach of the Warriors before Steve Kerr. I don't know how he doesn't have a job, but that's a whole other conversation for another day. But yeah, there's some other head coaches that could have been offered the job, but Oh well, you know. Let's see what happens going. Let's just see what happens going forward, you know, with these new hirings. You know, hopefully Monty Williams, hopefully he can get back on his feet. Some people thought that he was gonna get the Lakers job, but you know, God had other plans for that. So JJ Redick is a new coach for the Lakers. Kenny Atkinson's a new coach for the Cavaliers. Free agency is around the corner. The NBA draft is Wednesday. It's in a couple of days. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I do not know none of the pro. I don't. I'm gonna rephrase this. I don't know a single player in this year's NBA draft. Why? Because the women haven't taken over NCAA. They've taken over the NCAA. I knew who was coming out of the WNBA draft more than I knew the NBA draft this year. Like, if we're being honest, bro, if we're being honest, women's basketball took over college this year. Like, I knew more women college players than I knew guys. I'm gonna just be honest with you. I had a radio show at the school that I attended, and I said the same thing on that radio show. I'm gonna say it on my podcast. I know of a few players, but the most talked about player in this year's draft isn't even gonna be a first round draft pick, and it's sad. Bronny James, he's the most talked about. He's the most talked about draft prospect out of this whole class, and he won't even be getting drafted in the first round. He's gonna be in the second round. All second round draft picks don't get drafted until Thursday. First round. So if y'all didn't know, the NBA has switched up the draft. So the first round will be on Wednesday, and the second round is gonna be on Thursday. So the first round, I only know a few first round players. It's a draft prospect about it's a draft. Hold on. Research department. Research department. We're going to the draft. Okay, prospects. Okay, here are your prospects. We have, man, this is bad. this is bad, y'all. I'm gonna be honest with you. Okay. This is bad, y'all. They show me the prospects and it's a whole lot of names. So look, Zach Edey is one player that comes in mind. He was the one, he played for Purdue. He's putting up crazy numbers and get this and so Zach Edey put up crazy numbers, right? But here's the crazy part. He might not even go in the first round. Like, and I've been seeing like the numbers he's been putting up, and mind y'all, bro, and mind y'all, Zach Edey is 7'5". He's 7'4", I think. He's 7'4", but he's an old school big man. He can't. He's an old school big man, meaning he doesn't shoot. He's a back to the basket kind of big, and that's the reason why he's not going. He's that, and that's the reason why these teams are not going to draft him top 10 because of that reason why, because he's an old school big man. Which I don't understand, because I think he averaged like 30 in March Madness, and he's 7'4". I don't know why he won't. I don't know why he's not a lottery pick, but that's another conversation for another day, I guess. But yeah, I'm gonna be honest with y'all. I only know three draft prospects in this whole draft. Bronny James, and he won't even be in the first round. He's gonna be in the second round. Another draft prospect. It's a guy named Clannigan. I think he played for UConn. I think he played for UConn. I think he played for UConn. I think He's won. I'm not even gonna lie to y'all. Yeah, okay. Okay, look. So his name is Donovan Clannagan. Donovan Clannagan, he attended UConn. As y'all know, they won the championship this year against Purdue. Okay, now I have the names. Rob Dillingham. I've never heard of him. I'm gonna be honest, I've never heard of him, but I think he's one of the top prospects coming out. I kind of know by the names of who is going because of who he's at, of because of the analysts on TV. I kind of know some of these players because the analysts on TV, they will always talk about it. Every time I turn on TV, that they will talk about these different players. That are finna get drafted. And like I said, y'all, I'm so sorry that I'm stuttering and all that, but it's real late, and I'm living with family. I can't speak too loud, so I'm trying to be loud, but at the same time, speak clear so that y'all can hear me. And I know y'all can't hear me, but y'all got to bear with me, okay? So back to the draft, Donovan Clannagan from UConn. Then you got I just see Rob Dillingham from Kentucky. I think I've heard of him. I've heard of him. But yeah, it's a lot of other players that's getting drafted that I don't know, that I probably need to do some research on. Probably should do some research on so that I know who's gonna get drafted. So that I know who to look for in the draft and which team should draft who back at 15. I do not, but what I do know is I do know that the Hawks got the number one pick, and if they go for a point guard, that means that Trae Young is definitely going to be out of there. If the Hawks draft the point guard and as the first pick in the draft, Trae Young will be on the trade block. I repeat, if the Hawks draft any talented point guard, which could be the first pick in the draft, if the Hawks draft a point guard, Trae Young will be on the trade block. He will be on the trade block. I'm saying it now. There have been some reports that the Grizzlies are going to trade. There were reports that Marcus Smart might get tied to a trade during draft. Research department. So there are rumors. Hold on, y'all. I'm looking through my information right now, 'cause I gotta get this right. So it's a lot of like hockey stuff going on my phone right now, which I'm not trying to look for. So look, with free agency coming up, usually it starts with the draft. So at the draft, usually players get traded sometime at the draft. Well, breaking news, NBA Central reports there could be a possible trade between the Rockets, who have number three pick, and the Grizzlies, who could offer their number nine pick and Marcus Smart for that number three pick in the draft. So it could be a thing where Marcus Smart might go to the Rockets, to kind of be on a team with, a rising star, Jalen Green, or Alfred Sengun, Fred VanVleet, Dillon Brooks, and Cam Whitmore, and Jabari Smith, and them boys. So Marcus Smart could be getting traded there as a sixth man to come off the bench for the Rockets. That's not a bad pickup for the Rockets if they go through with this offer, but we're gonna find out. That's some news. So yeah, how about we just go into free agency right now, man? So next in the Palace news, in the Palace news, there have been some free agency updates. So OG Anunoby, he has opted out of his contract, and he will test free agency. Interesting. Klay Thompson. There's been some Klay Thompson news lately. There have been some rumors that Klay isn't happy with the Warriors, and the contract negotiations between the Warriors and Klay are not going good. So look for Klay to possibly lead the Warriors this year in free agency. The same thing goes for Paul George. Contract talks with Paul George between him and the Clippers aren't going good either. So Paul George and Klay Thompson could both be on different teams next year. We'll see. Free agency is July 1st, which is Monday. Paul George has until June 29th to either opt into his contract or decline to become a free agent. So he has until June 29th, which is, I believe, which is Saturday. I believe Saturday. Hold on. I think the 29th. Yep, 29th is Saturday. So he has till Saturday. And free agency is July 1st, which is Monday. So be on the lookout for that. LeBron is also a free agent. DeMar DeRozan is a free agent. Harden, Tobias. It's a lot of players who are free agents. You got D'Angelo Russell, free agent. No, Russ, Russell Westbrook, free agent. My guy, Russ, free agent. So yeah, it's a lot of free. It's some free agents. I don't know, man. If you ask me where I think Paul George can land, I mean, if he wants to win a championship, I don't even think the Clippers. I can't say the Clippers are a championship built team because off of the year, I mean, they had four Hall of Famers on one team this year, and their team was stacked this year. If they were healthy, they could have went to the finals. They probably could have won against the Celtics. If you ask me, I think the Clippers got a deep roster. I just think Kawhi just gets hurt when you need him the most. If you ask me, we haven't seen the best Kawhi since the Toronto Raptors when he won them a championship and basically carried that team to the finals and won. So I think Kawhi's got to stay healthy, and they can. And if Kawhi stays healthy, they can win the championship. If I'm telling y'all, if Kawhi can just stay healthy, they can win a championship with the same roster that they have right now. If you bring back Harden, and you bring back Russ, and you do this whole team over again, and with Ty Lue as the coach, if you keep the same roster and probably upgrade on the power four position, I find the Clippers don't have like a power four. Like you got Kawhi being a power four, which is cool, but I think they need a power forward. Like they need like a PJ Washington type of power forward over there. Who can defend, hit open three, something like that, like a versatile four who can stretch, like the floor a little bit. I think, and then I mean, I think so. I think I so I think I think I think the Clippers is his best option to win. I've heard the Sixers. My thing with the Sixers is Embiid's health. When Embiid is healthy, he's the best player. He's arguably the best player in the league. And he's shown that. He won MVP last year. This year, he could have won MVP, but he tore his meniscus. So, and he tried to come back and play. You saw how he played in the playoffs. He played well, but you can tell he was still hurt and kind of favored in that knee throughout the playoffs, like massaging the knee while he was in the game playing. You could tell he wasn't all the way healthy, even though he came back putting up 30 and 15 on some nights, but I don't think he was all the way healthy. And even though I think Paul George is actually a great fit for the Sixers. Why I say that? Because the Sixers have a point guard in Tyrese Maxey. They don't have a small forward, and Paul George could fit that They already have a center in Embiid, so they'll have that point guard, that wing spot filled, and that big man spot filled. If they was to sign Paul George, that's the piece that they're missing. They're missing a small forward. I repeat, the Sixers need a small forward, and Paul George fits that. I agree, but if you're trying to win a championship, I don't think you can fully trust Embiid to be healthy for a full season, like you could, let's just say, the Knicks, for example. The Knicks, right? If you ask me, I think the Knicks, if they were healthy, they could have went to the finals. They definitely would beat the Celtics, and I don't want to say we won the championship. That's kind of OD. That's kind of pushing it. The Knicks could have won. They could have won a championship this year if they were healthy. Because I don't think the Mavericks could take the toughness and the grittiness that the Knicks played with this year, especially in the playoffs. If Jalen Brunson doesn't get hurt, if Josh Hart doesn't get hurt, if Mitchell Robinson doesn't get hurt, hell, if Julius Randle don't get hurt, if all of them are healthy, the Knicks definitely beat the Celtics in the conference finals. I don't think the Pacers definitely wouldn't have had a chance to get the Knicks if the Knicks were healthy. That's just me. Now, with OG opting out of his contract, if OG doesn't come back, they could get Paul George. Now, even if OG resigns, they can still get Paul George by just making some trades and stuff like that. But they can still get Paul George with OG, like re-signing back with the team. So, I mean, if he's trying to win, I think the two teams would be like the Clippers and the Knicks. I think the Clippers and Knicks would be a good situation. I also saw that Paul George can opt into his contract with the Clippers, and he can like request a trade. That can happen too. But then again, I mean, he's from LA. His family's in LA. So it's like, why not just stay with the team? And then y'all was supposed to be moving into a whole new like arena. They're gonna be in a whole new arena in like Inglewood. They're gonna have their own arena instead of sharing with the Lakers. So they won't be sharing one with the Lakers no more. They'll have their own arena in Inglewood. So I think he should resign and stay for that experience. They spent years trying to like build their arena, so you might as well just stay and finally see how it would be playing there, So I think if I'm Paul George, I would re-sign with the Clippers. But at the same time, I do think he needs to go somewhere where he can win the championship. And even though the Sixers is a perfect fit for Paul George, because they need a small forward, somebody who can guard on the like perimeter. And they just need help in that small forward spot in general, because Tobias Harris, he's inconsistent. I think he's a free agent. Tobias is being paid way too much to not be consistent, and he's been on that team way too long. He should have been got traded. So if you replace Paul George with Tobias, I think he would be that would be a way better situation for the Sixers. If they get Paul George instead of keeping Tobias, who's just he like he's bro. Tobias is literally just bro. I'm gonna be honest. Tobias, he is just sitting there collecting checks like it's like a free for all. Like, Tobias is robbing the Sixers of their bread. Yeah, I said it. Tobias is robbing the Sixers of their bread. He's been playing for the Sixers, and he hasn't gotten better. He's been robbing them. They should have kept Jimmy. Like, They should have chose Jimmy, not Tobias. I don't know why they paid Tobias and let Jimmy walk. Cause after they paid Tobias, Jimmy went to Miami and he went to the finals twice. He carried them to the finals twice. That's what the Sixers lost. The Sixers lost somebody who had carried a team twice to the finals after that. That's what they lost. They lost leadership, and they lost another 20-point per game scorer in Jimmy Butler. I'm just saying. But y'all, that's all the news for today. I know this is like going on for like an hour. I apologize, but there has been a lot of news in the WNBA and the NBA. The good thing about basketball is that even when the season is over, there is still a lot of headlines and news that comes up every day in basketball, which is why it's easy to talk about basketball, because every day it's new news about basketball, like basketball everywhere, like. Even with the season being over with, now you go into like the NBA draft, then you got summer league, then this year you got the Olympics, which is more basketball. Basketball is going to be going on up until mid August, and then guess what? We're still going to be talking about basketball. Even when the Olympics is over with, you're still gonna be hearing about basketball. Cause by that time, who knows? Paul George and Klay, they could be on different teams. Oh yes. Speaking of Klay, if Klay doesn't go back to the Warriors, I think Klay should go to, I've heard like the Bucks. The Bucks. That's somewhere that he could probably go. That's actually a fantastic fit for Klay. If he goes to the Bucks and play with Giannis and Dame, oh my god. Oh my god. I'm just throwing out there, he goes to the Bucks. Klay could also go to, I would say the Lakers, but like, Can they even afford Klay? I don't even know. They might. They probably can't afford Klay. Who knows? He can go to the Lakers. Another team he can go to. I mean, the Sixers, that's not bad. The Sixers are not a bad option. Klay could probably go to a team like, I've heard like Orlando. But does Klay want to be in small? I like Orlando. I've been on vacation to Orlando twice. So and the team that they have now with Paolo and Wagner, and like my guy Markel is still over there, but I think Markel's a free agent, but he's still over there. The kind of team that Orlando had this year, and the run that they had this year, and how they took the Cavs to a game 7 in the first round. Orlando's not a bad team to go to. If you just want some new young energy, I think Orlando is probably a fit. OKC, he can go to OKC. That's not a bad fit. The OKC. I would say Sacramento, but it's kind of a rival between that team and the Warriors a little bit, so I don't know if Klay want to go to a rival team. I don't think they're a rival because they've only been in the playoffs one time. I don't count that play-in. I don't count the play-in. That's not the playoffs. But, he can go to Sacramento. Just because of the season that Kevin Herter had. Kevin Herter didn't have a good season this year because he was hurt a lot and he didn't really play up to his game this year. So I think Klay goes to Sacramento. alongside with D Fox, and that's not a bad team either. They kind of play that Golden State kind of system a little bit too, you know, with Mike Brown being a former assistant coach for the Warriors. The Kings kind of play that Golden State kind of offense, kind of. So that's not a bad spot for Klay, but who knows, man? Free agency is always the most exciting time of the year to look forward to because you never know who's going to go where or like what kind of trade is going to happen. It's going to be a lot. I think next episode, I'm probably going to. Next episode, free agency is probably going to be over with. So I'm probably going to tap into. I think next episode is probably going to be a free agent episode. And we'll talk about what moves were made, who got traded, who got signed, when. I'm gonna be honest, I don't think Klay is gonna be on the Warriors by the time next episode drops. Right now, I'm not hearing a lot from Paul George and the Clippers. I'm hearing a lot of negative responses from the Klay situation and Paul George's situation. But again, these are all rumors. So that's what, these are all rumors. So it's nothing confirmed yet. These are all rumors, but. It is Monday, June 24th. Free agency is next Monday, June 1st. So by this time next week, we'll see who went where. Some players still won't be getting moved. Some players probably won't get moved until Tuesday too, just because of the whole like, negotiation. And there have been some late free agent signings that probably. That probably might happen later on next week, but yeah, but we'll see. We'll see though. But like again, I apologize for like the stuttering, kind of like the up and down. I want to say, my energy. I'm laying in my bed doing this podcast, so. And I'm recording this, like I said, off my iPad. I'm using my AirPods. So, yeah, I'm not in a full podcast space right now where I have all my equipment, mics, and all that stuff. I'm kind of like my own production right now. So, yeah. But this has been episode two, not part two. This is not part two. This is not part two. This is episode two of the K-Dub Palace podcast. I want to appreciate all y'all for tuning in and listening. I don't think this was my best podcast episode. I'm over an hour in, and I can kind of tell that my speech enunciations was not the best on this podcast. Like I said, it's late. It's 11:35 right now, so I apologize for the confusion of like the enunciations of how I was speaking tonight. But this has been another episode of K-Dub Palace Podcast. Hopefully y'all tune in weekly or every other week when I post or release all my next episodes, man. Hopefully y'all have a great night, a great rest of your week. Like I said, it's gonna be a busy week in the NBA with free agency and the NBA draft. See who's going where in the draft, you know. So it's gonna be a good week. We're gonna have upcoming episodes about the Olympics, more WNBA news. Tune in tomorrow, I think. The WNBA has a game tomorrow. I think the Minnesota Lynx play the New York Liberty tomorrow. Like I said before I leave, let's go to the research department and make sure my information is accurate. 'Cause I would hate to give y'all wrong information. And I was correct. Tomorrow, the Minnesota Lynx play the New York Liberty at 8 o'clock on Amazon Prime, which I do not have, but that's okay. because I will still find some way to watch it. And then for your upcoming, you know what? Why not just give y'all the upcoming dates of the WNBA so we can show them some love so that it's not always about the NBA. So Thursday, June 27th, in the WNBA, you have the Minnesota Lynx playing the Dallas Wings. The Connecticut Sun, my girl, Dejanay Carrington, like I said, she should be all defensive team and she should be an all-star this year. The Connecticut Sun will play the Washington Mystics. Then you have my favorite team, the Las Vegas Aces, will play the Chicago Sky against my rookie of the year, Angel Reese, who's a dog. Then the last game for that day, you have the Fever going against the Seattle Storm. Friday, you have the Atlanta Dream versus the Connecticut Sun. Then after that, you got the LA Sparks and the Phoenix Mercury. Then Saturday, June 29th, you got the Aces playing the Mystics. That's an early afternoon game, about 2 o'clock. Then you have Dallas Wings playing the Storm at 9 o'clock that day. Then Sunday, to end the week, we have the Atlanta Dream going against the Liberty at 1 o'clock on ESPN. Then we have the Minnesota Lynx playing the Chicago Sky at 3 o'clock on ESPN3. Then for the final game of that day, you have the Indiana Fever, Caitlin Clark going against Diana Taurasi and Brittany Griner, and the Phoenix Mercury at 3 o'clock on ESPN right after the Dream of Liberty game. So that's y'all WNBA schedule. I'm going to try and keep y'all updated with the USA teams and their schedule. I think USA need free training camp, I want to say the first week of free agency, which is next week, I think they meet the first week of free agency. So next week, Team USA might meet for training camp, I think. But they don't, I think Team USA, so if y'all don't know, so here's the roster for Team USA. Stephen Curry, Devin Booker, LeBron, KD, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, Bam Adebayo, Tyrese Halliburton, Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum. Did I miss anybody? Hold on. I'm gonna restart the list. Hold on. Kawhi. But I'll name the roster again. So we got LeBron, KD, Steph Curry, Devin Booker, Anthony Davis. The bench is probably gonna be Bam Adebayo, Jason Tatum, Tyrese Halliburton, Anthony Edwards, and Kawhi. And I think that's 10 players. I think the last two players. Oh, the last two is Drew Holiday and how did I forget? Joel Embiid is on the roster. I don't know how I forgot Joel Embiid, but Joel Embiid is supposed to be playing, but if Joel Embiid and Kawhi don't play because of injury, well, Embiid was on ESPN the other day, and he said that, you know, he's feeling fine. He's feeling fine, and he intends to play for USA. So, with Kawhi, he's up and down. We never know what's really going on with Kawhi, but if Kawhi doesn't play, I think they might go for another wing player. Kyrie might get added to the team. I don't know. I think Kyrie's already said that he's talked with Team USA, and they both kind of agree that he probably shouldn't play in the Olympics, or he shouldn't be a part of their team for other reasons. But if Kawhi doesn't make the team, I think either Jaylen Brown. I thought Paul George would make it, but Paul George has said on his podcast that he's already kind of like, he's kind of like over Team USA as far as like plan, and I think he's had plans of he's had plans of his own of his own already instead of the Olympics. So yeah, I think Paul George, I think Paul George should replace Kawhi. If they need another wing player to guard, I think Paul George should be on the team, or Jaylen Brown. But at the same time, Kyrie should definitely be on the team, though. I think Kyrie should definitely be on the team. Just because if we're trying to send our best players, I mean, Kyrie, he's definitely deserving. But I think Kawhi might be on it. I think Kawhi might play, but if Kawhi doesn't play, I think they should revisit Kyrie. If they don't revisit Kyrie, they should at least go after like Jalen Brunson, at least Jalen Brunson. Or look, if Kawhi doesn't play, I think they should look at Paolo, because Paolo was on that FIBA team last year. He played a big role. They should definitely look at Paolo. If they need like a wing or something, if they're looking for like if they're looking for a wing player, I think if Kawhi goes down with injury, I think they should add Paolo to that roster, just to give them like some new young like energy. If they want young energy coming to the Olympics, I think you have Anthony Edwards, you got Tyrese, so you, and you got Tatum. I think you should get you should they should get like you they should get Paolo to join that roster. But if Paolo doesn't make the roster, I think Jaylen Brown should make the team. Either Paolo, Jaylen Brown, Paul George, or Kyrie, or Jalen Brunson. I think those five players, one of them should make the team. But if you ask me who I think should be on the team, I think Kyrie. I think Kyrie. But the thing, if Kyrie makes the team, they already have 3 point guards. So even though Kyrie is a two, he's gonna be a shooting guard. If he goes on the team, he's if Kyrie was to go on the team, he would be going on there as a point guard probably. So I can see where they probably won't need Kyrie on this team. But at the same time, if you need like a bucket, swing. If you need somebody to give you a bucket, if like Steph Curry doesn't have it going, or Devin Booker doesn't have it going, Anthony Edwards don't got it going, and you need somebody that can get you a bucket, Kyrie can get you that bucket. But if Kyrie isn't the player that they feel like will fit their team, as far as like position. If Kawhi doesn't make it, and you need like a small forward or somebody who can guard, you gotta go with Paul George or Jaylen Brown or Paolo. I think you might want to look at Paul George or Jaylen Brown, But I know that was long, y'all. I apologize. It's 1 hour and 14 minutes going into the episode. Hopefully y'all follow the podcast and tune into the pod wherever y'all listen to y'all podcast. Hopefully y'all tune in and listen to this podcast. I'm gonna try and get some background music playing. Like I said, I'm new to this space, so I'm trying to get everything in the works so that when I do get really good at podcasting, I can have all this down pat. Right now, I'm stupid. I'm a beginner with all of this right now. So, as far as like the music, like the background music and all that, I'm going on YouTube. I'm looking at different videos on that. So I was gonna put some background music of my own, but there's a chance that I might get copyrighted, and my episode might get taken down. So for right now, y'all gonna listen to the podcast with no background music for right now until I'm able to go to like Pandora and get my own background music to play while the podcasts are going on. But anyway, I spent a long night. I was only supposed to record 30 minutes of this whole episode was supposed to be 30 minutes long. It is 1 hour and 15 minutes, about, and it's about to be 1 hour and 16 minutes long for this episode, which is actually insane. But I appreciate y'all for tuning in. I'm about to call it a night. I'm probably gonna, I might stream. Oh, also, while I have y'all on here, I want y'all to go subscribe to my YouTube, K-Dub. That link will be in my Instagram bio. My Instagram is Drip God K-Dub. My Instagram is Drip God K-Dub. And my YouTube link is in my Instagram bio. So y'all go follow me on Instagram and go subscribe to my YouTube. But most importantly, y'all follow and tune into my podcast weekly. This has been another episode of K-Dub Palace coming from your. Oh man, I am terrible at this outro. I am terrible at this outro, y'all. Oh my God. This has been another episode of K-Dub Palace coming from the best palace. There we go. The best palace of them all. Yours truly, K-Dub. I'm gonna catch y'all in the next episode. Hopefully y'all have a great night, great week. And let's see where the NBA takes us this week. So y'all stay tuned, man. Another episode of K-Dub Palace. And I'm out, y'all.